Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. Well, have you seen the movie A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood? That's starring Tom Hanks as Fred Rogers. Well, Fred Rogers has been gone for a while, about 16 years, but he's certainly been back to help us see what he did during his lifetime. Before the movie, there was also a documentary on TV that showed a lot of clips from his program. And I have not seen the movie yet. I understand it's more about his life and understanding Mr. Rogers than perhaps lots of the film clips. But I'll have to see it to find out. Mr. Rogers spread his message of love and kindness, and we might call that decency, or we might call it emotional intelligence. That's what one film critic has said. And one great example of his decency is a speech he gave at the Daytime Emmy Awards in 1997, accepting a Lifetime Achievement Award. Instead of just running through a standard list of thanks, like to my manager, my producer, my fans, etc., Rogers took the opportunity to invite the audience and everyone watching to take a moment for gratitude. In a short clip that you will find on the internet, if you check, this is what Mr. Rogers said. Would you just take, along with me, 10 seconds to think of the people who helped you become who you are, those who have cared about you and wanted what was best for you in life? 10 seconds of silence. I'll watch the time. After a powerful pause, he continues, whomever you've been thinking about, how pleased they must be to know the difference you feel they've made. So how long is 10 seconds? Well, sometimes that goes by in the blink of an eye, and other times it may seem like a long time. So you might try that. 10 seconds to think about somebody who helped you in your life. Rogers' words are a powerful reminder that it doesn't take long, even 10 seconds counts, to incorporate a gratitude practice in your life. And there's been so much more research about the importance of gratitude. And I just read somebody saying to make your day go well, to get the most use of your time, to be most efficient, all kinds of good things. The first thing that person does is to write, journal something that she's wants to list as something that she's grateful for. And as I say, there's been lots more research. But, of course, Mr. Rogers was way beyond and much more than gratitude. He was a puppeteer and ordained minister who became the TV program Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. But he started out with a degree in music composition. Well, that helped him because he wrote 200 songs for the show, including the theme, Won't You Be My Neighbor? And he was honored with numerous awards and accolades for his dedication to children via television. The beloved and longtime host of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was born in 1928 in Pennsylvania. He was an only child until the age of 11 when his parents adopted a baby girl. After graduating from high school, he enrolled in Dartmouth College, where he studied for a year before transferring to Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida. He began to play the piano at a young age, and he graduated with a high degree in music composition. During his senior year of college, he visited his parents and was awed by the family's newest household addition, a television set. He could see a fantastic future for the medium, and as he'd later recall, immediately decided that he wanted to be a part of it. So his first job in television came when he worked as an assistant and floor manager of the music programs for NBC in New York City. In 1953, he was hired to work in programming in Pittsburgh, where there was a recently launched community TV station that was the first kind of its in the country. By the following year, he was co-producing a new program, The Children's Corner. And this allowed Rogers, who'd fallen in love with puppetry as a child, to introduce some of his favorite puppets from his home to show his young audience. In the early 60s, Rogers made his first appearance as Mr. Rogers on a Canadian broadcasting company called, was one word, Mr. Rogers, all together, one word. And the program helped lay the groundwork for the approach that Rogers later took in his show. But he decided that, first of all, he earned a divinity degree in 1962, and the Presbyterian Church asked him to serve children and families through television. He and his family moved back to Pennsylvania from Canada, where he created Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood in 1966. So in 1966, were you watching television? Were you watching Mr. Rogers? I was not, but I'm sorry I didn't get to watch Mr. Rogers, even as an adult. So I've really been appreciating learning more about his program, because everybody I know that has anything to say about Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and how their children enjoyed it is just all so much more positive. In 1968, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood aired on PBS stations throughout much of the country. And some of the unusual things about his program was, I guess, just the kind of the layout, the aspect that he took, and also the topics he covered. He approached his young audience with respect and a directness about issues children face that were rarely touched by other programs. He said, "The world is not always a kind place, and that's something all children learn for themselves, whether we want them to or not, but it's something they really need help to understand." So some of the topics, and I'm sure some of those were a bit controversial with adults that wondered if their children should be watching this, but perhaps not. Some of the topics were really silly, like don't be afraid to get your hair cut. Other just kind of simple everyday things that sometimes kids just don't like, don't understand, are afraid of, and so he could kind of help kids through that. But then there were those other topics like discrimination and assassination. He was one of the first programs to have a black actor recurring on a children's show. Do you remember or have you seen in which Rogers was resting his feet in a kiddie pool and invited this black man, Clemens, to put his feet in as well? And that was one step that some people, I'm sure, thought, what is he doing? But the rest of that story is that he helped this black man, Mr. Clemens, dry his feet. The other topics that he talked about, for instance, divorce. That was in 1981. As broken marriages became more common in the country, Rogers attempted to communicate to children that their parents' marital woes were in no way caused by them. And he always had a way of, again, if you watch his programs, you know, he might use puppets. He had, of course, other visitors, other characters that would react and visit and so on. He also had a lot of other kinds of visitors, some very well known and some not so well known. One that probably was a hallmark in terms of uniqueness and long-term effect was the 10-year-old Jeffrey Erlinger, who was a quadriplegic, and showed Mr. Rogers his electric wheelchair and how it worked, and explained how having a spinal tumor at a young age had paralyzed him. So that was in 1990 to humanize individuals with disabilities. In 1983, as the United States and the Soviet Union were at peak Cold War tension, Rogers talked about nuclear war. You know, you just think about how do you talk about these things so that children have some understanding and perhaps aren't quite so fearful. In the very first show that aired on PBS, Fred Rogers began the program much as he would over the next 33 years by walking through the front door of his television house and trading in his raincoat and suit jacket for a zippered sweater. The sweaters, and he had about a dozen or two dozen of them, were all made by his mother. And one of them has ended up in the Smithsonian Institution. So, Mr. Rogers, what did Mr. Rogers mean to you? What did he add to your life or your children's lives? It's an important part of television history, an important part of people's lives. So, until next time, you could make it a happy day in your neighborhood.